Hello.
Oops, hello. We're here with Douglas Repetto, who is one of the artists performing or exhibiting in Groundswell Saturday, September 19th at the Alana State Historic Site with also that day Lovid, Quintron, Bernard Klug, Tyson Hoff, Gambletron, Brian Dewan, John Cleeter, and the John Cage Trust with Seth Chrisman. Douglas, are you exhibiting or performing?
I'm kind of doing both. It's a it's an installation I'm making, which probably will not be fully installed by the time the show opens, and therefore it will turn into a performance.
Ah. It's going to be installed as you go?
Yes, it's a very pragmatic approach.
Does the installation have a name?
It does. It has it's kind of in two parts. So it's Ita Karina, which is the first. It's really two installations that are linked to one another. So one is a study, and one is a more or less finished piece. So it's Ita Karina is the first part of it, and then the second part is the study for 67P, Churyumov Gerasimenko. And I don't entirely know how to say those names correctly yet.
But they are names.
They are names. So the first one is a nebula, which is the Ita Carina. When I watch videos, people say it all different ways. Americans tend to say Ita Carina, so that's what I'm saying. That's the name of a binary star system that exploded or nearly went supernova in the 1840s and briefly became the second brightest star in the sky, and then ejected a huge amount of material and now has a nebula called the Homunculus Nebula around it. And so that's one of the things I'm building. And the other, 67P, is a comet, which if you follow the Rosetta mission at all, was recently the European Space Agency had a Rosetta mission, and they actually landed a lander on the comet. So that's the first time humans have ever landed on a comet in that way. So I'm building a sort of small model of 67P and a much larger version of Ita Carina.
So it sounds like a Dostoevsky novel and a Vonnegut novel.
That's a strange mix. Yeah, the names on the comet are the two discoverers, Churyumov and Gerasimenko, but just for convenience, I call it 67P because that's its other designation.
And you're going to install this bring it or to some place on the Alana landscape? Or where exactly, do you know, can you tell our listeners where you're going to be from?
Sure. There's a carriage road that runs through the Alana property. And it's all the pieces in the show are going to be along that road. So I'm actually right at the entrance. But I'm back in the woods. So what you're going to see when you come to my site is not much at first. There's going to be four different objects that are set back into the woods. And I'm actually going to have an antique telescope there, kind of a spyglass, a barrel that you can take and you can use to sight down it and try to find my pieces in the woods. So there's some of them are quite small, so you're really going to have to kind of, you know, use the telescope and try to find them and see what you can see. And then the larger one you'll be able to see because I'm there working on it, but it'll be pretty far away in the woods and you'll be on the road, so you'll get to sort of scope it out and check it out through the telescope.
Is there what is the view there? I guess it's sort of to the north. It's not quite to the west. Is that right? Or do you see mostly woods where you are?
You see mostly woods. You come down a little hill, and it's all woods. And then to the left, I'm not sure which direction it is, but to the left is a meadow where Lovid is going to be. So there's quite a large meadow, and next to it is a big chunk of woods. And I'm sort of deep in that woods. And you'll be able to see it from lots of different vantage points, actually. There's going to be one sort of primary viewing place where the telescope will be, but as you walk along the road, you'll be able to see into the woods and see the piece from different perspectives.
And will you also be able to hear the piece from different perspectives, or is there a sound element?
No, you might imagine a sound element. They'll be moving because they're hanging from the trees, at least three of them. One of them might be on a stand. But, you know, these are astronomical objects. So, and lots of sounds have been created from data that has been gathered from them or from the landings themselves. But the pieces at Olana won't be making sound, but certainly to me, they're very dynamic. And so it's kind of, to me, there's this imagined landscape or imagined situation that's around these things that, in my imagination, implies a lot of sound and all kinds of action.
So there's a imagined soundtrack that each listener or viewer will create on their own.
Sure, yeah. I hope when you look at these things, it's almost as if they were real things, but of course we're at a distance from them. And it kind of ties in to, sure, it all comes from this, the fact that, I don't know how much people know about Church and how he worked, but one of the things he did was he would often go to exotic places and, you know, do some sketching and then come back to his studio in the winter and execute these paintings, almost photorealistic paintings. But they were paintings that, you know, this is pre-photography, obviously. They were paintings that kind of collapsed a bunch of aspects of some exotic place into one painting. And then would be presented to the American public as, hey, look at this, you know, here's the Andes, here's South America, where most of you have never been and you've never seen it, and here's a waterfall and a mountain and a path that are not really together, but he made sketches and then he would sort of assemble a painting out of those sketches. And so what I'm trying to do is kind of a contemporary analogy of that, in that you know, astronomical objects are kind of the current exotic objects, or maybe undersea objects as well, but I'm using astronomical objects. And it's like we have this viewing, you know, they're difficult to see, and I've got these sketches, which are these small models, and I'm also going to have some photographic representations I'll be working from. And then you're kind of going there, and you're getting a chance to see this exotic object, you know, somewhat close up, but you still got to, you know, look through the lens. And they're, you know, they're in the wrong context and they're pointing the wrong direction and all that, which is fine, because that's all kind of thinking about what Church was doing and what it meant and how it relates to, you know, we're so used to photography now. We're so used to the notion of being able to sort of capture the way something really is. But of course, that's always, you know, there's a lot of nuance to saying that this is how something really is. But when people were painting, it was a lot more fluid, the sense that there wasn't so much of a sense of this is really what was there. And in a way, that's to me, it's very interesting that that's the way it is with astronomy, really. You know, we see these amazing images, but those images are heavily treated, and someone has had to make a lot of aesthetic decisions, because it's not like you just take a camera and point it at a star system. And especially when the Eta Carina is so far away and it's so enormous, you don't just take a color photo of it. So if you see a color photo, that's actually assembled from lots of different bits, and it's many different parts of the spectrum were shifted to you know, kind of give you a photo that looks good to the human eye, but it's really nothing that you could ever actually see. And I think that's to me, that's really interesting in relation to what people like Church were doing before photography, with using painting to represent exotic places.
And of course, if you could see what was in the photography, you would have seen what happened millions of years ago, right?
Exactly. Well, one really neat thing. So it was the 1840s that Eta Carina had this almost supernova, that's when the light from it first came to the Earth.
When the light reached
exactly,
the Earth.
Exactly. No, it's 7,000. It's very far away from us. But one really
lots cool of zeros thing, after that seven, right?
Lots of zeros. Yeah. A really interesting thing. I've been talking a lot about this as I've been working on it. I have a friend who's an astronomer at Swarthmore College named David Cohen. One of the things he told me has recently come to light is that the structure of the homunculus nebula, you know, it's a big three-dimensional, it's got two lobes, and if you see the piece, you'll see that it's got two, it's almost like two spheres that are joined, and they're just getting bigger, and they're exploding outwards, and the stars are tiny little things in the middle. The size of the nebula is enormous compared to the size of the stars. And all the action that's happening there is happening in three dimensions, which means that, and you know, light reflects, and there's lots of debris, lots of dust and things. This thing is so big that some of the light that happened during the main event, you know, it goes in all directions. So some of it came right to the Earth and was received in the 1840s. Some of it went the other direction, has since bounced off the dust that was going the other direction, and is just now getting to the Earth. So we're actually able to record reflections that took, you know, 100-some years to get here, because that's how far, you know, the source, they kind of went away from us, hit the wall, and then came back to us. So they arrived later than the original reflections.
From a pre-Civil War event.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of amazing. So we can see those reflections now arriving. So it's all pretty amazing, and to me has a lot to do with sound and thinking about echoes and reflection and time and how things change over time was what sort of sound to me is just things changing over time. And so it all kind of gets, you know, stuck together.
And you're also, I guess, reflecting back to Church's age in the 19th century through a long trip through space.
Exactly. And well, he, you know, like a lot of people then, he was a naturalist and he was interested in natural phenomena. He has a famous painting called The Great Comet, where there was a comet that came and kind of bounced along the atmosphere for a while and everybody got excited. Whitman wrote a poem about the same comet. And, you know, so I like to think we weren't able to find any direct evidence that he knew about this, about Eta Carinae exploding. But certainly, you know, it was known because all of a sudden there was a new star that was the second brightest star for about a decade. You know, and that was big news among people. There were lots of naturalists at the time. It was very popular to be, you know, sort of trying to figure out what's going on.
I would guess there'd be lots of religious folks trying to make that a sign of something.
Yeah, there were all kinds of ideas about what it was. And of course, there's still things about it that we don't fully understand, like these reflections that suddenly we're seeing. And also just that it's a binary star. For a long time, it was thought to be a single star. But only in the last decade or so have astronomers realized that there's actually two stars there circling around each other. And that probably has something to do with the odd structure that the nebula has taken.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Douglas Repetto, who is one of the artists performing and exhibiting in Groundswell Saturday, September 19th at the Alana State Historic Site, Frederick Church's, the artist Frederick Church's site from the 19th century. And so, Douglas, if someone just joined our conversation, how does this relate to Alana?
Well, Alana is Frederick Church's kind of homestead. It's a enormous property that he landscaped, and he, you know, decided where the roads go, and he decided what the views are. So he really crafted the whole experience of being in this place. And so I'm making an installation that's thinking about representing exotic things, you know, that you can't see yourself, and that's in a lot of ways that's what he did with his painting. And so I'm doing a kind of modern version of that with astronomical objects rather than, say, the Andes.
And do you think, is this out of the ordinary for your work, or do you think this relates to other things that you've done?
It definitely relates to things I've done. Almost everything I do has, in some way, is thinking about human perception and what it means to kind of believe or not believe your own senses and your own perception of the world, and trying to figure out, you know, what should I do, basically? How do I behave? How do I make decisions giving imperfect information? And so, to me, something I love astronomy because it's really all about having very imperfect information, sometimes having tiny little bits of information, and then trying to untangle what in the world is going on here. How did this happen? And you know, it's so enormous in time, and it's so enormous in space, and we have such tiny little bits of evidence, and yet we still manage to piece things together. And we're wrong a lot of the times, but we try again, and we go back, and we take another stab at it. And in a way, I feel like that's what I do all the time. It just comes out in ways that look very different to an observer, but to me, they're all about that same thing. Like, how do we know things about the world, and what do we do with that knowledge?
And I guess we've been talking to the many of the other artists that are in Groundswell. And it seems like three or four other pieces have a tangential relationship with the weather in some way. Do you think this is like space weather related?
Space weather? No, I think it's just, well, maybe, yeah, it's got to do with space weather. A lot of people like to, Etta Carina does have a place in the kind of the doomsday cult people, because if it does go supernova, it may release some really strong bursts of energy.
It would kill all the electromagnetic fields here?
Yeah, well, it's not entirely clear what direction it would come out. And there's a slight, very tiny, but slight chance that it would point at us. And if it goes supernova and it pointed at us, it would destroy us.
Not just the electromagnetic fields, but everything.
It would just fry the earth, basically. It's not going to happen.
We wouldn't just lose our cell phone service. It would be more calamitous.
No, our cell phones would probably be fine. It's us posted.
I guess a couple other pieces in the exhibit have this sort of viewfinder telescope kind of aspect. I guess the site is kind of ripe for that.
Yes, yeah, some of them. I mean, some of them, there's kind of, it's up close, it's right on the road, but other ones, there's definitely, it's pretty attractive to be kind of set off from the road, to be in a woods. I love being in the woods, and so to just sort of be able to work in the woods is great, but then you don't necessarily want lots of people tramping through the woods. So for me, it was a nice way to have that kind of distant, but also it's a framing device that Church himself used. He would make elaborate frames. He would put plants and things around his photos. And so he would really, it was like he was making a window that you were looking through, and you were looking through that window at some sort of representation of reality that he had created. So I felt like using the telescope is a similar kind of thing. I'm giving you a frame that you're looking through. In this case, it just happens to be a tiny little hole. But, you know, it makes the object be this sort of almost separate magical thing that you have to, that you view through this mediating lens of a frame or a set dressing almost.
All right. We've been talking with Douglas Repetto, who will be at Groundswell Saturday, September 19th at the Alana State Historic Site. And Douglas, should you tell people where they can go to find you on the internet for more information about your work?
The best thing is just to look up my name, Douglas Repetto, R-E-P-E-T-T-O, and I'm pretty easy to find.
All right. And is there anything we left out that you want to tell people about the Etta Carina and I can't remember the other number.
67. you can hear me pronounce it like, you know, 10 different ways. Every time I give it a shot, it's different. No, just that it's going to be a super fun event. I'm excited because I haven't seen, I know about a few of the pieces, but not all of them. And I think it's going to be a great mix of performances and objects. And it's great that it's just, you know, one afternoon. You go for an afternoon and you see all these different things. And then you have a concert and dinner or whatever. So I'm looking forward to just being there and, you know, being kind of a participant as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in today. Douglas Repetto will be at Groundswell Saturday, September 19th.